Welcome to Pork Fried Dice, a podcast in which a group of friends play Dungeons & Dragons together, facing the horrors of the fantasy world before them with unflinching solemnity and stoicism. Or not. Featuring Katie as Will, Greg as Lank, Abby as Rafina, Alex as Batwack, and Eric as Nick and as Dungeon Master. Hold on to your haversacks. Let's roll.
The one thing about strep, though, is if you have it, like, there comes a point where you can't possibly have anything else. It's like,
right.
I had strep one time that it, like, they didn't catch it the first time they took a culture. Mm-hmm. So I had it for a while before they took a second culture. And I was like, okay, either give me antibiotics or shoot me in the head.
Seriously.
I am at the point where either cure me or kill me. but I couldn't say that because I had severe strep throat.
Yep. Yeah.
So I had to do it like in mime. I was like, you know, either pills or gun to the head.
Thankfully for all of us, they left their hollow point ammo behind at their last house. So they had to settle for the pills.
All right. I'm potentially ready. Okay, let's do it.
Hey, yeah, I wanna shoot, baby.
Shoot.
Ooh. Oh, baby. No.
Okay. Now that's a nice, smooth intro.
Yeah.
That's something we can all get behind.
Let's do it. Hello, everyone.
Oh, you're so nervous.
Hello, everyone. Welcome.
It's been a weird day because, well, I mean, he went to work and he came home a little early because he still didn't feel well. And then he hasn't talked to me this whole time, basically. It's been really weird and awkward because he's like, I have to save my throat.
But also, I've been preparing.
Yeah, he has been writing a lot. I don't know what's going on.
Machiavelli.
I'm very nervous. I don't know what's happening.
Nobody knows what's happening. I've told them all but you.
I love knowing what's going to happen ahead of time. Mm-hmm. That's why I play with this Dungeon Master.
Oh, you need to get closer?
I've got my halls here.
Did you follow your, well, I'm not a doctor yet, but I'll be a doctor soon. Did you follow my advice and get some whiskey?
Nope.
He's such a baby.
Oh, hot toddy. You need a hot toddy.
I have whiskey. I should have made you one.
You should make a hot toddy.
Oh, look at it. But he doesn't like anything. He's such a wiener. He doesn't like anything.
You don't have to like it. You just have
to
drink
medicine.
It. It's medicine.
Take your medicine, jerk.
Listen, I'm an adult. I can choose to drink or eat whatever I want.
He's such a baby.
See, I've chosen.
He asked me.
It's a cold lime toddy.
He asked me. He was like, do you think if I make a drink, will it be bad for my throat? And I'm like, I don't fucking know. Just go.
You didn't say that. You were very kind. You were like, it shouldn't matter.
That was WebMD back when they didn't have a sophisticated search algorithm. What do these symptoms mean? Why don't you go fuck yourself?
It's cancer. You happy? It's cancer.
Oh my god.
That's pretty much how they are now. They know their audience.
Yeah. Your symptoms of WebMD is like, oh great, I've got Crohn's disease and, you know, my foot just fell off.
Once upon a time on Pork Fried Dice. Most of the party started the session by dealing with a pesky flesh golem with the help of a handy banishment.
Oh, that's what it's called?
No.
Flesh golem?
Yes, or golem, depending on how you pronounce it.
Well, yeah, golem is what I would say, but I didn't know. Flesh golem.
That's right. A pesky flesh golem.
A pesky one.
With the help of a handy bananishment, courtesy of Rafina.
That was amazing. I love that.
Simultaneously, they also investigated the source of the horrible noises from the nearby rooms and discovered miserable scene upon miserable scene, as well as a shattered mirror with a spooky eye. Meanwhile, Will decided to be a proper gentleman and enter through the front doors as opposed to skulking in the side like some common burglar.
It was a new experience for him, and he was totally weirded out.
The courtyard beyond proved to be misfilled and mostly empty, save for a bat-winged mongrel chained to a post,
and the other two who had greeted the party upon their arrival at the abbey. They directed Will over to the right side of the courtyard, where he met the abbot. Basically told him to hang on a minute and met up with the rest of the group. They caught a glimpse of a spider-like creature clinging to the inside of the well.
Oh, so creepy.
And then they headed into the Great Hall for a palaver with the abbot.
Did we really just ignore all those creatures? Okay, keep going. Yes.
Yeah, you were asleep. This is mostly for you, Abby.
I didn't sleep last week.
A little bit. So yeah, and they headed into the Great Hall for a palaver with the abbot. Oh, and Steed Corral busted down a door with his hooves.
Yeah, that was pretty great. Kelly Clarkson! That's what he said when he busted down the door.
So, you've made your way back into the Great Hall. The fire is again, as I said before, roaring in the fireplace, which was so rudely extinguished by Will previously.
Ah, they were rude. They didn't come to the fucking door at my knock. Rude!
You say to no one. You say to the fire.
Yeah.
They were rude!
They were rude. Shut up, fire! They were rude.
Crackle, crackle. Someone's peeing on the fire. The woman that you had seen in the tattered red dress is sitting at one of the seats at the table. The abbot is doling out some sort of stew from the pot that was bubbling over the fire to bowls around the long table. And he says, and remember, his voice is very deep.
But you don't have to do that.
Deep is okay. I don't want to go high.
Okay.
But it's deeper than
what
this.
What is Little Kitty saying right now?
Little Kitty saying... Go fuck yourself. I'm the moderator for WebMD. It's true. All right. Fuck you.
I'm sorry. He was doling out stew.
Yes, doling out stew. Oh, and don't forget, coming down from the floor above somewhere, you hear the faint sounds of some, like, string instrument being played or
Yeah.
Oh. I hear it! Your description is so good, it's like I can really hear it. Wow. I'm transported. Wow. You're the transporter.
Also, Will is transported. He's dangling over a pit of lava, hanging by one boot from a frayed rope.
All alone.
Mr. Pompeian, he's a good man. I give him the double stitch.
Such a good movie.
We need to watch that again.
Yes.
Guys, I hear an arpeggione. If we wait a second, I can pull mine out of my terrarium. We can play duet.
The abbot has finished doling out the soup, and he gestures to you all, come in, come in, come in, come in.
Whoa. Sounds like you're trying to put on a voice now.
Quite an echo in here.
It's quite an echo in here.
Please, please, take a seat. Let us sit and dine together. You are my guest. Well? you've come to...
That's how I usually respond to dinner invitations, too.
You've come to visit here. I understand. I have heard tale of your poor skill at introduction. So we might just sit and eat first and see how things progress from there.
If you really knew anything about our reputations, you would know things don't get any better.
Can you blame a man for hoping?
At this point, I might blame you for hoping, but thank you for the soup. Is it beet soup?
No. It is something I've developed the volume, because I'm adjusting the volume. No, it is not beet soup. It is a recipe I've been developing. It is a combination of rabbit meat and turnips. I call it rabbit turnip stew.
Wow.
So the development process has gone more into the ingredients and less into the naming.
That's right.
I would love to try some.
Well then, welcome. Please sit, all of you, wherever you like.
Do you make it first by stitching a rabbit to a turnip?
Our friend here is a vegetarian. Do you have anything tofu-y?
Tofu-y.
I'm afraid I don't.
Tofu-y.
I would be happy to try to serve you a bowl without any meat bits in it, though the broth is certainly meat-infused.
Yeah, I don't know what his problem is. You'll have to take it up with him.
I'm happy to give it a try.
Okay. Guess he's not very attached to his convictions, huh?
Well, in the spirit of being polite, since you're giving us rabbit turnip stew...
Yes.
Great name, by the way.
Thank you.
I am Lank Stumpers.
Oh, hello! Look at this, an introduction! It's a miracle, everyone! The Morning Lord shines down upon us!
I thought you must have known who we are, since you had these bowls of Bunnip Sue ready for us.
Bunnip.
Well, no, your friend here, he gestures to Will, had come in previously, and you and I had spoken as well, young lady.
Who, me?
Yes, you.
I'm not very young, but thank you very much.
Well, that's all relative, isn't it? Anyway.
How old are you? All right. Hello, Rufina Philanthropod at your service. How old are you?
How old are you?
Oh, I forget.
Well, that's funny, because I do too, in fact.
You forget how old I am, or how old you are?
I do not know how old you are, and I forget how old I am.
Okay, moving right along.
Many, 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 many years old. Mm. But... you may all refer to me as the Abbot.
Or just the.
No, the Abbot.
Mr.
Or
T. Abbot.
If you will omit a word, if you must, you may omit the word the. So that's some of us. And Nick pipes up. He's like, hi, I'm Nick! He's already eating.
Of course he is.
Bathwack's like praying extra hard over this soup for some reason. He looks up, I'm Bathwack. Somehow gets back to the serious praying over this soup.
I would imagine the rabbits were free range and killed humanely.
Suddenly I imagine his horse appearing in the stew after 10 minutes. That's what happened the last time he seriously prayed.
Oh, and may I have a bowl of milk for my kitty person?
He looks over and down at her, sort of curled up next to your seat. He's like, yes, I think we could fix something up for her.
Thank you.
He turns back to the hearth and takes a bowl with him, and he pours. I don't have any milk, but hopefully some water will do. Yeah. And he comes around gracefully and sets the bowl next to her.
Little kitty says thank you.
Good job.
Thanks. Irina sits down and she says, well, thank you for this meal. My name is Irina Kolyanovich. He says, oh, Kolyanovich, as in the burgomaster of the village of Barovia? She says, yes, that was my father. He passed some, however the fuck long it's been ago.
Couple weeks maybe.
Days?
Couple hours. Who knows? We don't know.
Some time ago. Oh, I'm very sorry to hear that, he says. From all I had heard, he was a good man and did his best in the village. These are dark times that we live in, but I'm sorry to hear of his passing. Let's see, who the fuck else do I have to talk as? I think that's it.
Yeah.
And what about you? He says, turning to Will. You and I first spoke before the rest of your fellows here, but I didn't catch your name.
Oh, I thought I might have said it. I'm Will.
Hello, Will.
Hi, Abbot. And he's going to sit down. He'll sit down at a bowl, but he's not going to eat that. He's untrusting. He'll starve first.
Nick is halfway done.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, he's probably dead now.
Yep, Nick is halfway done and dead. Still eating.
Bathwack is tentatively drinking it.
All right. You all find it's not terrible. It's not overly seasoned. It's a little bland. But, I mean, it's passable as rabbit and turnip stew. Nothing fancy, but it'll suffice. You don't have to choke it down unless you hate rabbits or turnips. In which case, you have to choke it down.
You have to. What if I'm allergic? Then I will just choke.
Yep, you have to choke it.
Sir, yes. Mr. T. Abbott.
Yes.
Who Who is playing the arpeggione from The Lost?
Speaking of which, let me hit play again.
Who isn't playing the arpeggione?
That is Cloven. That's his room above. He lives up in the belfry up above. He serves as sort of my right-hand man, if you will. It takes care of a lot of the tasks here around the abbey for me, feeding the mongrel folk and tending to things and whatnot.
Is he a mongrel folk?
Hmm? Oh, yes. Yes, he is.
Yeah, I was wondering, with a name like Cloven, is he made all of hooves or something? Just all hooves.
Or is he just in two?
No, but part of him, he has a few hooves. He is a significantly goat-like.
Oh. How does he play? I'm fascinated.
Oh, it's quite impressive. Perhaps you go visit him if you'd like. I won't give away the surprise.
It's... sounds weird. He has a prehensile penis.
What's that noise? What's going on?
Strung with horse hair. Yeah.
So what brings you here to the Abbey of St. Markovia? What is there? Is it business? Were you hoping to accomplish something? I'm glad to see you all here. Will led me to believe that you had entered into the other wing, in which case I would imagine that you wouldn't be standing here before, so he must have sitting here before me, so he must have been mistaken.
That was just a few seconds ago. What were we doing?
You guys have to decide whether you want to admit that you killed this golem guy, or... Because Will's just looking at you guys like, yeah, what do you want to say about that?
We had some adventures.
We did. Okay, was this the same courtyard where Rafina found her lightsaber?
In the garden is where you found the...
So that was here.
Sword.
He must mean the side room, the room with the guy who almost killed us who got bananished. What?
Just, we were saying that now like it's a technical term.
Yes, I think it needs to be.
It absolutely is.
Are you aware of any large creatures living in your building?
And are you emotionally attached to them?
Let's do one question at a time.
Large creatures.
Yeah, very large. I mean, big. Oh. Well, okay. Don't look at me as big. Even these people would say he was big.
There are many creatures that live here in the abbey with me.
Yeah, but does one stand out as, like, if somebody were to say to you, the big guy, you would know who they're talking about?
Yeah, like, I don't know, someone who could, like, punch down a wall or something, you know.
Punch down a wall, yeah, that kind of, yeah.
You may be referring to the flesh golem that I have guarding the madhouse wing. He's certainly large. He was one of my early attempts at that kind of work. I want everybody to make, real quick, I want everybody to make a perception check.
Okay. Which kind of check?
Perception.
Perception. Yeah. Couldn't tell if it's perception or deception.
Inception.
So is he...
Inception, well then I'm just going to keep rolling dice smaller and smaller.
Nice. I got a natural 20 plus 1, 21.
Oh, wow.
I have 11 plus 3 is 4.
Bathwack, are we getting a bonus from you again?
No, that's just saving throws. No, it's on saving throws.
Never mind then. 16 total.
You don't get it next time then.
What was Bathwax?
So, 8.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was just curious, you know, you say he's guarding something? I mean, is he trying to keep something in or something out?
I would say both. And everybody else, as they're having this conversation, you all notice... A woman who was in the room, again, in the tattered red dress, she hasn't said anything, she hasn't been eating, and she's still kind of staring off into nowhere. And now that you're up this close, everybody but Bathwack notices that she is sewn together in a manner very much like the golem that was defeated. Will, you didn't see it, but everybody else would recognize it as similar. Maybe more refined. She's also normal size. She's not a huge... behemoth, and her face is, she's, I mean, as these kind of things go, she's rather attractive. Once you get over that part, as opposed to the other guy who was like, "Hey, you guys."
Oh, God, oh no.
So when you say one of your early attempts, like is now staring at the stitched together woman.
Mm. Yes.
You built these people?
Just the one guarding the madhouse, and then Vasilka here is my most recent attempt. Quite a good one, if I may say so myself.
What's the purpose of that? What is her purpose?
Well,
she seems very...
First of all, Vasilka, you're being very rude. Please say hello. He says that, and her hand kind of flops up, like kind of like a weird wave, but it's like all loose and herky-jerky. Aww. She's still...
Lank half-heartedly waves back.
She's still not looking, and then it flops back down to the table. Well, that's, it's a little bit of a long story. Would you like to hear it? Or do you have pressing business with me? I'd be happy to share.
Well, I mean, it's just a little...
Understood, yes. A bit of an elephant in the room, so to speak.
Right.
Right.
Blank looks around.
Well, yes. So I'd shared a bit of my story with you, Will, for the rest of your benefit. I'm assuming you didn't share everything with them. I came to this abbey roughly a century or so ago. The Saint Markovia, for whom the abbey is named, had tried to go up against Lord Strahd and was summarily defeated. And so the abbey stood vacant for many years. I came here to try to do some good in this land. I helped people, I helped to cure diseases and ailments that people had suffered, and tried to do my part. Eventually, I was visited by a family who had the name of Bellevue. The Bellevues were very, very sick. It was a family of lepers, and I was able to cure them of their ailment. But one thing they had that I was not able to help them part with was a series of odd deformities and mutations, leaning towards different animal tendencies of different varieties. I was not able to help them with that, and I soon discovered that they did not wish to be helped with that. In fact, they were proud of these features, and indeed wished to obtain more. I thought on it long and hard. I prayed to the Morning Lord, and my prayers led me to think that this family would be happier if I tried to grant their wish. And so my work began on them. I did my best. I wrought the Lord's work, and began to attempt to give them what they so desired. It was hard going at first. Eventually, though a few of them even perished in my efforts, they insisted I keep trying, and I was able to succeed. I granted many of them different features that they requested, and soon they resulted in the creatures you have encountered. Unfortunately, in many of them, it also came along with a certain degree of madness, which I did not foresee. I do regret what I had done to them. Maybe I had misread what the Morning Lord was trying to say to me in my prayers. But having done what I had done, I am now trying to do my best for them. Trying to keep them safe as well as others safe from them. They do pose a threat to themselves, to each other, and to certainly the populace at large.
And
many
you're
of
letting
them,
like, breed and I wasn't there! Fuck! I was not there! Screw me, never mind.
But it was a good guess, Will.
I'm guessing they were breeding over there. Sorry. Go ahead. Unless somebody else wants to say that. I just think that's fucked up. Sorry. Never mind. I'm not saying anything.
Well, and at this point, I should mention that the breakthrough, in terms of me being able to finally grant them their wish, was granted to be by a visitor to my abbey. It was one by the name Vasily von Holtz. He came to me one night.
Oh, no.
And he had apparently learned what I was trying to do.
Oh, no.
And I discussed it with him at length.
Hold on. Will's, like, actually laugh. Like, wait a second.
Yes?
You know that that's Strahd, right? You know that, right?
I do now okay, know that, yes, that is.
Just in case you're still friends with him or something, you know, because that's... Surprise! Surprise.
Well, we'll get to that.
How could this possibly be from the Morning Lord?
I don't think that's a productive question, Bathwax. It's very judgy. What? Mr. T. Abbott, what yes. do you need now? What are you looking to do, and how can we help, if we can help?
Maybe you can. That would be, if you came here to help, that would be excellent.
We didn't. But
oh.
Right.
We okay. didn't know you needed help. We only have 5 or 6 other missions at the moment, but I'm sure we can juggle one more.
All right. Well, if you hear the end of my tale, perhaps you would find yourself so inclined to help. As I was saying, this Vasily, as I knew him then, offered to help me, and he left and returned many moons later with an old tome, which contained powerful magics within, and it was this information, this lore, that helped me to successfully transform the Velviews into the forms you see today. Having seen the result of this, I did summarily destroy the book. I did not wish this fate upon any others. Once I did this work, Vasily did reveal himself then to me to be Strahd von Zarevich.
Did he laugh?
Yeah, I was going to say, he's got to be so... He was so proud of himself, of course. He was like... She was laughing, I bet. Oh, that was probably ridiculous.
Yes,
rubbing his hands together.
Yeah.
He did seem to revel in the results of this work. But behind his revelment, I was able to perceive a great sadness. This man, I mean, this land is certainly cursed. But he is cursed by it. He is cursed as well. I do not believe him to be the progenitor or the cause of this land's ailment. I believe him to be affected as well. To be honest, when it comes down to it, I feel as though helping him recover from this curse is the only way to truly free this land.
Well, he's sure not helping the land.
Well, that's where Vasilka comes in. And he reaches over and pats her hand, the lady in the red dress, the golem lady. When I told Strahd that I saw this within him, I wanted to tell him right away that I wanted to help him. And he confided in me. We had a long, long chat that lasted weeks and weeks. He desires nothing more than to escape this land as well. He is trapped here just as you are.
Oh, yeah, we really want him in other lands. That's all I've dreamed about my whole life. That's ridiculous.
Well, I don't know. I mean, perhaps if having removed him from this land, he will not be afflicted and will so turn away from his dark ways. But all I know is that... That freeing him of this curse is the way to free Barovia of this curse. That's what I know at heart.
Rufina leans over to Lank and says in a stage whisper, "This guy is totally gullible."
Yeah. Right. Okay, guys, let's change our whole positions and help Strahd. Poor Strahd. Oh.
How do you propose we free him?
Well, I'm not sure if you're aware, but one of the things that he laments, that strikes him to the heart so dearly, is that he lost a love of his many, many, many years ago. And I believe that returning love to Strahd will free him from this curse.
Hey, Arena! That's what Will says. Hey, Arena, why don't you go help him? You know, he's looking for love. Sounds like that's gonna cure him.
Isn't he going... Aren't you hinting that you... Vasilka is going to be the new Mrs. Strahd.
Rufina has hit it on the head. I believe that that she, with the right training, can fill that void in Strahd's heart. He cocks his head at Arena. I don't know what. I mean, do you love Strahd? And she shakes her head violently.
No, he's just her complete and total stalker, you know. He's obsessed with her and has...
Just wait. Wait, Strahd is obsessed with her? That she could be Strahd's love?
You are not... Okay, wait a second. Will, like, checks himself and he's like, listen, you're not stitching her into something else.
No, if that's the case, there's no stitching that needs to be done. She might very well be the key to freeing this land.
You can't just get... Oh my... Will's like, what the fuck? Like, you can't just... No, she's not interested. End of story. And he looks at Arena like, sorry to even mention it.
She says, well, this isn't just about one person. This is about the well-being of an entire valley of people.
Can I roll a perception to see if this guy's gonna, like, try to be possessing Irina now? Like, Irina.
Like, insight?
Yeah, insight. Like, this, if this guy seems threatening in some way, because that's... Will does not like that. Is that a roll that I can do?
Sure.
I don't know anything. 5.
And what are you trying to determine?
I was just trying to see if, like, he got really excited and really pumped, and Will all of a sudden is like, wait a second. We've already been having to shield this woman from weird, creepy stalkers. Now, here's another dude that's into her. Not that she won't just set him on fire if she wants to, I guess. You know, so, I'm trying to gather whether he has malicious intent, like, I don't care what her will is, like, I am...
He does seem interested in her. We'll say that.
All right.
Like, interested the way we've seen other people be interested? Like, making dolls and...
He rolled a 5.
Yeah, I rolled a 5.
I'm going to cast Zone of Truth on him.
Okay.
Am I in the Zone of Truth?
I love that the whole party's like, whack, you do that.
Yeah, let's accidentally catch Will in the circle, too.
Am I in? Oh, my God, really? Oh, my God, you're going to get so, like...
So how does it work?
No, it's purely it's unintentional.
Yeah, right, but you did it already intentionally. Will is not...
Where's Will sitting? Is he sitting on the other, like, the other end of the table? Is this implausible that it was an accident?
Hey, Will, could you just scoot, like, 5 inches to your right? Just cause.
So how does it work? Is it a save, right? Isn't it?
Yeah, charisma saving throw, DC 14.
So, does everybody save? I mean...
This is the truth table now!
The 15-foot radius, and I can center it wherever I want. If Will happens to be sitting next to this guy, I'm going to accidentally catch Will in it.
All right, this is going to cause a
problem. Otherwise, I'm just going to center it back in, like, into the wall, so it's only hitting him.
And do you know if it succeeds or fails?
On a failed save, you know whether it succeeds or fails, yeah. For each creature.
Does the creature have any idea that this happened?
Yeah, the affected creature knows exactly what happened.
Will the creature be annoyed that you're trying to do it?
Probably.
I don't know.
It depends on the creature.
Well, that's what I'm asking. We have our specific...
An affected creature is aware of the fate and can avoid answering questions.
I succeeded, so I didn't know? Wait.
You succeeded, so nothing happens to you.
Right, but I know you cast the spell and I was in it, right?
No, you don't.
But it you says did on that a... before, and I knew, and I.
Well, maybe. Passed. Well, then maybe you have to play it that way. It just says on a failed save. Wait.
Usually, a success means you know something happened.
Yeah.
Especially if a failed, you know. So, but you know the result. Okay.
As a quick aside, can Lang go take his pike and bang on the ceiling and say, "Hey, shut up there! We're trying to eat dinner."
You certainly can.
Can't we just let him, give him some new music? I mean, he's been playing the same 7 notes for the last 20 minutes.
Well, Rufina must know. Rufina must have some music to give to him.
You hear, oh, sorry.
I'm going to give him my...
Okay, we're going to put a pin in that.
Bandpipes.
That response.
He starts playing louder and louder. He starts clomping his hoof on the floor.
So, Bathwack, you know that Will and the Abbot both succeeded against your Zone of Truth.
Oh, too bad.
Oh, boring. More for the Abbot. Sorry. Lank's assuming that Will's lying.
Will, like, angrily scrapes his chair against the floor and leaves the table and goes over to some other end of the room and glares at Bathwack. The end.
All right, that's all for tonight.
The end.
Declare the end.
I don't know why no one ever wants to put me in a zone of truth.
You already tell too much truth.
I think everybody's terrified of that idea.
Then we'll find out why you have a banana in your backpack.
Oh, no.
Whoa, wait a second.
Oh, God.
I don't know.
Not reading into it.
So the abbot turns his head to you, Bethwack, not menacingly. He's like, do you think I am lying? What is it you wish to ask me?
Just concerned that you've met Strahd and you claim to do things that are, meant to bring good to the land, and it seems like all they bring is more pain and suffering. I don't understand. I don't understand your plan. I don't know how we are to rescue Strahd.
Well, my plan was to provide him with a replacement bride for his love long lost, gesturing to Vasilka. She certainly needs some work, some training, but I believe that it is this land's land's best chance at redemption. But now that you tell me that this woman here is perhaps a current subject of his love, or at least his current infatuation, I mean, that's a great head start.
I'm going to put my hand on the handle of my warhammer. Just say, what would you have us do with Irina?
Well, I think that you would all agree that this land would be best served if the curse upon it has been broken. And I would implore you, Irina, to at least consider the fact that if the curse was broken that ensnares Strahd's soul, that perhaps he would actually be redeemed as well.
Now, are you as confident about this as you were when you tried to help the people who now live here in your monastery?
Black, for heaven's sakes.
Okay. What?
No, it's a valid point. I can only...
For heaven's sakes.
What?
I'm making Rafina uncomfortable.
No, that's good.
No, you are not making me uncomfortable. You are making the abbot uncomfortable. He is hosting us, and he has some very earnest plans. Mr. T. Abbott, I apologize for all of our mistrust, and we are used to not trusting anybody, apparently. So that is why we might seem a little aggressive. And by we, I mean everyone except for me.
Bathwack gently.
Yeah, you certainly don't sound aggressive, Rafina.
Yeah. I just gently put down the soup. I'm going to stand up from the table, too. But I'm not walking wherever Will went, going the other way.
And while that's all going on, I'm trying to get Irina's attention, if I can, to just be like.
Stealthily?
Yeah, stealthily.
Give what me do I a think?
Stealth?
Stealth roll.
Stealth attention roll.
How are you doing it?
Well, yes. Look up here. Well, I had imagined that I walked away from Bathwack, away from the abbot, and just kind of was in her corner, whatever side she's on. Unfortunately, we don't have this diagrammed out, we all probably have a different vision of where we're sitting.
It's fine.
Okay, so I'm kind of nearby her, but not like
she
right next
and
to
her. All other NPCs are as far away from the action as possible.
Lank is upstairs haranguing the musician goat.
I just imagine she's still sitting at the table, but I walked over to a window or something, so I don't look like I'm next to her. Like, he didn't have the intention of being like, I'm going to go stand protectively by this woman. Mm-hmm. He would never do that. But he's, like, if I'm a few feet away from her, like, I don't know, 10 feet away. How far is 10 feet?
It's 10 feet.
While people are talking, like, to kind of, you know, tap my foot and like, oh, wait, no, I have magical powers. Wait a second. I have magical goddamn powers. All right, let's see.
Eldritch Blast.
Eldritch Blast from the face. Do I have your attention now? Here we go.
You can do lots of things with that, including tapping her on the leg or something.
No, I was thinking, I was going to say, like, just blow a little breeze, like, at her cheek, like just in the direction of me, as if I'm, you know what I mean, just nothing, no sound, just something that only she would be able to
feel. All right, and then
feel.
Do it with advantage.
Wait, stealth. Don't I have to roll stealth?
Yeah, with advantage.
Oh, okay. Not, well, I don't know what my...
Just roll your other one.
God damn it! I blow a hurricane through the room. All right. wait, stealth is... it would be a 12.
All right. So you blow this little breeze upon her face. And nobody seems to notice.
Okay.
And she brushes at it and then turns and catches sight of you.
Yeah. And he's just kind of like if things are still happening, if everyone's still talking, if he can get her attention that quickly as Rafina was talking and as Bathrak was talking, he's just like making an eye gesture towards the door, like, we're going to go probably, like, not stay here. Don't eat the soup. Like that kind of thing. All those things.
She stops with the spoon right in her mouth.
Just don't trust this guy. This is weird.
All right. So you've communicated that to her.
Sweet.
And Rafina, what was Rafina was saying, was apologizing for everybody's aggression and rudeness. She says, well, thank you, Rafina, but I understand. It's contrary to how most people view Strahd to think of things in these terms, but I try to be as open to possibility as I possibly can. And Bathwack, you do make a fair point regarding how sure I am about my intentions, or about my plan. I can only go where the Morning Lord tells me, and I see that seeking to provide love and happiness could only be something that the Morning Lord would approve of. I can't stand idly by while this land is ravaged by this curse, and everybody sinks deeper and deeper into misery, but I believe that Strahd is included in that. Hmm. Anyway...
I don't know. Is there dessert?
Is there dessert?
So I'm willing to believe that, but I'm just highly doubtful that it's somehow so easy as just as providing someone for Strahd to love.
I mean, perhaps, but maybe it is that easy. I've seen many instances where love is a powerful force in this world and worlds beyond.
And it's so powerful to break a curse.
The curse that is upon him was partially struck in blood over the loss of those that Strahd loved. And I could, in many ways, I've thought about this many, many nights for years and years. And it is somehow poetic in a sense, I believe.
On a side note, I'm noticing that Bathwax is extremely cynical and that he needs a zone of truth.
Well, Rafina's got the claws out tonight.
She actually has claws. She's becoming a mongrel.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit, it's catching.
Stitch him on me. Stitch him on me. I'm ready.
Lang starts handing out airborne.
Nice to see you being prepared, Link.
Look, I have no spells. I have no healing ability. I picked up this thing of airborne. I'm going to contribute to the team.
Yes.
I can hit people with my maul, or I can give them airborne. And today, I give them airborne. After hitting people with my maul earlier.
All right, and while this discussion is happening, Irina is looking at you, Will, and she's, like, trying to gesture subtly. She's, like, gesturing, like, slightly nodding her head towards the door.
And looks kind of.
She's looking at you kind of questioningly, like...
Oh, like, should we go? Like, or can I perceive, let's see, can I perceive whether she's asking to go or if she wants to go?
She seems to be asking you, like, what are you saying? Like, the door? Like, what do you want me to do? She's kind of looking to you for...
Damn it! Let me see. I know what I want to do, but I don't...
Irina, don't you know better by now? So Will has left the table. Bathwack has left the table.
Nick has dragged Will's bowl of stew over to him and is eating that as well.
So Nick is completely unconcerned by this whole situation.
Unsurprisingly.
I think Lank's going to stand up in his chair just in case things start to happen, but nobody notices because there's really no height difference.
Also, so you can see.
Yeah. So that I can notice that Bathwack and Will have left the table.
So, Abbott, right. when did you last see Strahd?
Last see Strahd? I mean, it was really since our last conversation. At this point, it was perhaps 10 years ago, perhaps? Time is a bit funny in this land.
Oh.
Why haven't you introduced him to his bride-to-be? Bathwax's going to gesture toward the golem. Ahsoka.
She is certainly not ready. As you've seen, her actions are rudimentary at best at this point. And also, it sounds silly, but I feel part of it is the presentation. I was hoping to find her something more suitable to wear upon her presentation to him. I thought best fitting would even be perhaps a bridal gown, but I have no access to such a thing. I'm working with her on her training. You had mentioned how you could help. I was hoping that perhaps you could track down such a garment for me in this land. Hmm. I have no skill with needle and thread, nor access to the materials with which to make such a dress.
So it was
Well,
Vasilka...
there you go, Rafina.
Yeah.
Hmm?
What are you saying, Bathwax?
Can Heartless. You make a dress? Harless.
No. Do you see that? Why would I be able to sew?
Wait, you've sewn the wizard's robes.
She doesn't remember that.
She did that in her sleep, just like all of her sewing.
That's how her character is built. She has access to any skill, but once she uses it, she completely forgets she has it.
I have to conjure up my sewing machine again, and that causes a problem in the room.
Start smacking everybody in the head.
What was I going to say? Oh, is Vasilka originally a living creature? Is she a member of the family? Van Damme? Wait, what are they named? Bellevue.
No.
I don't know why I said that.
No, she is not the granddaughter of Jean-Claude Van Damme, legendary vampire hunter. No, she is cobbled together, forgive my rude language, of different parts of those, let's see, how to put this less rudely, recently departed.
What? Where did you find them?
In particular, does one of her arms look familiar? How far afield have you gone to get these bits?
Not far. The village below, I send out, Otto and, the other fucking one to go fetch parts when some of the villagers down below have, gone on their way. They don't leave the village, so all of their dead are interred here within. Again, a small price to pay for perhaps ridding this land of its curse. I imagine, first of
it
all,
just keeps getting better.
Seeing this assortment of people before me, I'm assuming that you all have been drawn here by Strahd, as so many have before. I imagine that you are probably intent and hell-bent on slaying him and thus seeking that method to free this land, but I have doubts that will be successful. I don't think that is enough. I think his curse is part of something greater.
I'm still confused about how you made this girl. How did you animate her?
Well, some of the magic and the lore that Vasili had brought to me led me to these methods of reanimation. Again, like I said, I've destroyed the tome, but the knowledge still remains within, and he points to his temple.
So, dead people become alive.
Exactly.
Okay.
But I mean, all that aside, I mean, I think we have found all together here, working as one, a much more viable solution. And he gestures with both hands again towards Irina, who was looking over at Will and suddenly looks back at the abbot.
Bummer.
And kind of has a fake smile.
I don't think, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Irina, but the sense that I've gotten from you over the past however long I've known you is that you're not totally on board with this idea of being Strahd's bride.
Well,
have I misread? Have I, you know, tell me if I'm wrong. But
No, I mean, he, as far as I'm concerned, and I mean, forgive me, sir. And you all think she looks, like, kind of scared of this abbot guy.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed to be a vile, reprehensible monster responsible for all the ails that befall this valley. But I don't know. Who knows, you know?
Will clears his throat to make her look back at him.
She looks back at him.
He's just like, gesturing subtly to get her to come over to him, closer to him.
And she's like, I just don't know. She starts like gesturing wildly, like she's just like, her arms are waving about. And she's like, I would have to, and she gets up and she wanders over and she puts a hand on Will's shoulder. She's like, I would have to think about it. What do you think, Will?
Well, it's obviously up to you. That's totally your decision.
Are we seriously considering this?
No. No, Lank. I don't think we are.
Okay.
But it's up to her. I mean, if you wanted to, but I don't think you do.
She looks at you. Her eyes are terrified.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's like, I just don't know what to say right at this moment. He says, well, don't you all want to... I mean, isn't that your ultimate goal, to free this land of the curse that befalls it and free those within and thus yourselves?
Hmm. Well, I guess it kind of is.
Yes, but it doesn't mean you're going to give a person to a crazy vampire guy.
This is the equivalent of throwing a virgin into the volcano.
Exactly.
In a society that I have never been to or know anything about.
If Irina loved Strahd, this would be an easy choice.
Right, exactly.
None of us would be here if Irina loved Strahd.
We would be hanging out in the village of Barovia, I guess, because that was the entire point of us going from Barovia to Valaki, is she wanted to get away from Strahd.
Do you think he just likes her powers of being able to set things on fire? Because that would not solve problems.
Well, that's a relatively new development. I think he liked her before her arm was... and he looks at her like... different.
And then he vomits.
And then he throws up all over. Yeah, exactly. I'm so sorry. That's not why
Apparently
I wanted you to come over here.
I'm allergic to rabbit or something.
I'm allergic to rabbit. I didn't eat the soup, but I am. I'm allergic to it.
I'm allergic to other people eating it.
Abbott, what if Strahd wants the love that he can't get? I mean, we can't provide this to him. We can't give him someone who loves him.
What do we know about his lost love?
This was...
It was in the diary, wasn't it?
Yes, it was in the diary.
Tatiana was her name. Hey, wow. Name Vasilka Tatiana. How about that? Rename her Tatiana and be like, I found her! She was living in a cave!
I found all of her pieces and assembled them for you.
So this plan hinges on Straw turning out to be a complete idiot.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good, Abbott. And then if you survive this encounter, we'll talk.
So Straw comes to you and wants you to build people. And that's somehow part of his plan.
No, he provided me the power to do what I thought was the right thing and give the Bellevues what they wished. I didn't build them. I granted them these transformations, and the tome that he had provided had also included instructions on constructing these golems.
Yes, but why? Why did he do it? Is he hoping to reanimate his dead sweetheart? And why couldn't he just do it himself? Why did this make him happy and sad at the same time?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't certainly told him that I'm doing what I'm doing. I thought this would be good as an all-and-out surprise.
Will's laughing. Surprise!
Please do not get me a birthday present.
I had seen sort of the means before me to accomplish this task, and took it upon myself to do what I thought might be right.
I don't think any of us begrudge you for your,
good intentions?
Yes, good intentions. Mm. Like, you know, it's a very outside-of-the-box idea. It's
very
kind.
Very.
Yes, very, very outside-of-the-coffin kind of box idea. But, like, I think what we're all uncomfortable with right now is your attitude about Irina. So if we can just, like, leave her out of it, how about we change the subject right now? Because what we actually came up here for was silvered weapons, which is what the... Burgomaster of Crest said you might have access to, because besides the problem of Strahd, there's also like other shit going on, some of which involves werewolves, which we are not prepared to fight. Silvered weapons?
Witches too? No, just kidding.
Which we are not prepared to fight.
Punctuation is so important.
I know not of this is not an armory or a fortress. We do not provide armaments, or I don't think it would be safe to keep them here with the inhabitants that you've met.
But do you have any silver? Like a silver pillow or something? Something that's not dangerous.
Yeah.
Silver pillow. In other words, just a big lump of silver. That we can throw at the werewolf.
Right.
Bathrak temporarily excuses himself. Goes out the door.
Uh-oh. The front door?
Yeah.
Back the way you came? Okay.
Yeah. Oh.
All right. Where are you going?
Potty break.
I actually just want to go search around the sheds.
Okay. Well, let's investigate that a little bit. There's sheds sort of scattered all around the exterior of the courtyard. They all appear to be padlocked.
Yeah. I'll just hit them with the whatever it is I've got, the mace or the maul.
In an attempt to break one of them?
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's start at the one that's like closest to where I am and work my way around.
Okay.
Like counterclockwise or something.
All right, so there's one on either side of the door you just came out of, so you could turn.
I'll go north, yeah.
All right. So you go ahead and give me a strength check.
It's a 16.
All right. That succeeds. The lock stays true, but the wood that it's attached to, the kind of splinters off, and the door swings open. And within, you see a chained mongrel.
Oh my god!
Wow.
This one looks like it is mostly has the body of a dolphin, and it has praying mantis legs.
Oh my god, that's Whoa. So creepy. And
I take about 3 steps back, and then compose myself again.
Is there any water to moisten it?
It its dolphin eyes blink against the light pouring in. And then it hops out on the legs and starts running.
It's chained?
Yes. It starts running and then is jerked back by the chains that attach it to the back wall of the shed.
Oh my god.
Oh, this is terrible.
Oh my god, we need to kill these things. Put them out of their misery. This is fucked up.
Alright, well, I'm just gonna, I don't want to interrupt whatever's going on inside, but I'm gonna slowly work my way around the courtyard, see what else is in these horrible sheds. I'm hoping to find some weapons and then we can get the hell out of here.
Well, I will just say that we will go back to inside, but each one you open contains a different shackled mongrel. The next one has
insane
tiger fur and spider's eyes, rabbit limbs and tail.
And a turnip head.
Alright. I mean, I don't want to hurt them, so each time I'm trying to give some step back and give some room so that I don't end up confronting them.
Got it. The next one is looks like it's just a maggot with a purely human head on top.
Ew,
what?
Oh. You came up with all these, didn't you, you fucker?
How long did you spend doing this, Eric?
There's some others.
What do you have learned?
There's some others.
This is a judgment!
This is disgusting.
I'm so glad I came outside.
Oh my god.
Anyway.
Will's gonna come out and be like, oh my god, look at all these horrors! He's gonna look just at Bathwack. Ah! The horror!
What god could have created?
I haven't even cast Zone of Truth on you.
You don't even need to. I'll tell you the truth. You're beautiful. No, I'm just kidding. All right.
So back inside, Bathwack has taken his leave, and you hear a crunch from outside, faint crunch. That's the hammer.
And, yeah, and the guy, does the guy even have any reaction to, he must know that what he's doing.
Well, he's a bit distracted right now.
Okay, by what?
By Irina.
Oh, you creep! Get away! I have spells, yo! Watch out!
I mean, I don't think you all understand truly the gravity and import of this situation. We potentially have the means before us right now to break this curse and free this land.
This is what you're going to be talking about for the rest of the time, huh?
The time?
This time that we are sitting here, I guess, and he's looking around at Rafina and Lank Nick, who's gorging himself on the soup.
He's passed out.
No. I'll give you one last chance. I mean, Irina, one last... the answer is no, right?
Rafina. I mean, I'm Rafina.
You're Rafina.
Irina. What would it take to fall in love with Strahd?
What would it take for me to put you in this Strahd today?
Thanks for listening. Please leave us a review on iTunes and visit porkfrieddice.com to find links to us on Facebook and Twitter. Be sure to join us next week to find out what happens to your favorite adventurers as they muddle their way through our demented mindscapes.